When we see the form of Jagannath, we see a very unusual form. He has no neck, has very short, stubby arms, and has no legs, and his eyes are dilated, very wide, and he has a very huge, blissful smile on his face. So what is this form? What is the inner meaning of this form? Although the festival of Rath Yatra has been going on for millions of years, it wasn't until the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the actual inner meaning of the Jagannath Rath Yatra festival was revealed. So he came 500 years ago, and he explained it actually in different verses that are told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya explained, what is the actual mood of Rath Yatra? The mood is that Jagannath or Krishna is feeling separation from the residents of Vrindavan, and he wants to see them. He's overwhelmed with separation. In fact, when Krishna was in Dwarka, he was always thinking of the Brijvasis. He was always thinking of Yashoda, Radharani, not Balaram, but all the coward boys, Sudam, Sridam. And even at night, Krishna was dreaming about the Brijvasis. When he was lying in the royal palace with Rukmini or Satyabhama, at night he's sleeping and he's calling out, Radhe, 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 Radhe. And then Rukmini, she says, who is this Radharani? And of course, Rohini Devi told everything. So there's one verse when Lord Chaitanya was dancing in front of the Rath Yatra carts. There's one verse that he used to say from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the chapter 82, where the gopis met Krishna at Kurukshetra. Because actually the Rath Yatra means bringing Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. Kurukshetra is represented by the temple. The temple represents Kurukshetra, it also represents Dwarka, or Aishvarya. Because see, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he was thinking that it'd be nice if the Brijvasis could come see me in Dwarka. But they will never come here to Dwarka, because there's too much Aishvarya. There's too much opulence, wealth. And they won't feel comfortable here. And myself, I cannot escape. I cannot escape my duties here in Dwarka and go to Vrindavan. I'm surrounded by so many wives and so many children. I have so many royal responsibilities. How can I leave Dwarka? And if I left Dwarka, all the Brishnis in Dwarka, they would simply die in my separation. So what to do? I have to meet in some neutral place, a Tathasta place. So then what happens is that there was the solar eclipse at Kurukshetra, and Krishna heard about this, and he thought, oh, this is a very nice place. We could meet there at Kurukshetra. So then Krishna spread the news everywhere. He told everyone, and he spread the news, I'm going to Kurukshetra. I'm going to attend the auspicious function of the solar eclipse. So then, of course, the gopis, they heard about this, all the residents of Vrindavan, they heard that Krishna is coming to Kurukshetra, which is not very far. So then, when the Brijvasis heard this, they had one plan in their mind. They had one idea. They were thinking, we will go to Kurukshetra, and we will meet Krishna there.
Therefore,
you must come back with us. You have to come back with us to Vrindavan. If you don't come back with us, we'll drown ourselves in these Samantapanchaka lakes. We'll give up our bodies, but we won't return to Vrindavan without you. This is what they were thinking when they heard that Krishna was going to Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse. And then they prepared themselves. The Brijvasis loaded their bullock carts with all kinds of ghee and thousands of milk sweets and creamy yogurt and all nice gifts to give to Krishna. Then, of course, they arrive there at Kurukshetra. Then when Lord Chaitanya is dancing, he's chanting this verse which the gopis mentioned when they were with Krishna. And it's mentioned two times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse from 10th Canto, chapter 82, verse number 49. Avushchatena linana bapadara vindam yogeshvare ridivichintyamagada bodhai samsara kupa patito taranavalambam geham jusham apimanas yudiyat sadana. In translation, The gopis spoke to Krishna. Our dear Lord, your navel is just like a lotus flower. Your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that these lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household affairs. So Lord Chaitanya was dancing in front of Lord Jagannath, and he was reciting this verse and so many other verses of his own in Bengali to convey this mood of Krishna, you're in Kurukshetra. Now, come with us, come back with us to Vrindavan. The Prabhupada gives a very nice purport. How the yogis are always meditating on Krishna's feet. They want to have Krishna's feet marked in their minds. But the gopis have a different idea. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. The gopis were never interested in karma yoga, jnana or dhyana. They were simply interested in bhakti yoga. Unless they were forced, they never liked to meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna. Rather, they preferred to take the lotus feet of the Lord and place them on their breasts. Sometimes they regretted that their breasts were so hard, fearing that Krishna may not be very pleased to keep his soft lotus feet there. When Krishna's lotus feet were pricked by the grains of sand in Vrindavan pasturing ground, the gopis felt very pained and they began to cry. The gopis wanted to keep Krishna at home always, and in this way their minds were absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Such pure Krishna consciousness can arise only in Vrindavan. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain his own mind, which was saturated in the ecstasy of the gopis. So in this chapter 82, Krishna meets the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. There's very wonderful purports by Vishnu Chakravartipad, which explain the exchanges and the intensity of separation that was felt. And I have taken notes on those, and I'll read those and try to speak on those to you, because I don't have them all these purports committed to memory. So what happened is that everyone arrived in Kurukshetra, all the Brijvasis arrived there, all the residents of Dwarka arrived there, and then Krishna, as a perfect gentleman, he greeted everyone. He greeted the Brishnis and the Pandavas and Yadavas from Hastinapur. He greeted all his seniors with showing respect, touching their feet, offering obeisances to his seniors like Bhishma and others. And then those who were equal to him, he embraced them. And his subordinates, he let them touch their feet, and he gave blessings to those that were below him or subordinate to him. And this way he was greeting everyone. And then suddenly Krishna noticed, oh, the Brijvasis have arrived. The residents of Vrindavan have come to Kurukshetra. And immediately he left all the Brishnis, and he left all the Pandavas and the Yadavas, and he ran to the Brijvasis. And the first person he saw was Mother Yashoda. And when Mother Yashoda saw Krishna, after such a long, long separation, how long? 80 years. 80 years. Krishna left Vrindavan when he was 11 years old, just a young boy. And 80 years later, after feeling so much separation, so when Mother Yashoda saw Damodar, Madhav Krishna, she was overwhelmed with Vatsalya Prem. She was completely overwhelmed. She started crying and crying and crying. And she took Krishna and she sat Krishna on her lap. Now, this is significant because Krishna is dressed as a king, all kinds of royal garb and gold and armor and everything. Not armor, but all decked out in gold. She's sitting on his lap, and Mother Yashoda is fondling him and pulling on his ears, touching his cheeks. And then she's saying, Beta, 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 means my son. And then Krishna, he's so overwhelmed with love for his mother, whom he hasn't seen for 80 years, he starts crying and crying and crying. And he's calling out, Maita, Maita, Maya, 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 you know, Maya, Maya. I can't pronounce it properly, but he's calling out, Mother, Mother, right? Maya, 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 Maya. And Maya, Maya, it's a very intimate way of saying, Mother, Mother. So there Krishna's crying and crying. Now Mother Yashoda, she's an old lady. And she doesn't have any children. Krishna was the last, you know, Krishna was, well, actually his sister was the last child. First Krishna, then his sister Subhadra were born, younger sister. So she hasn't had any children for 70 years, some along 80 years. And all of a sudden the milk is rushing out. Milk is rushing out of her breast like the Ganges. Because her heart is so much surging and swirling with this ecstasy of a parental and motherly affection that it just comes out of her breast, just shoots out of her breast with so much milk and covers her whole sari. So now suddenly, Devaki comes on the scene, Mother Devaki. And she's wondering, I'm the mother of Krishna. What's going on here? So then in a very discreet and indirect way, Devaki starts to speak. Oh, Mother Yashoda, it's very fortunate, wonderful that my son came to your village and he lived in your village and you raised my son. It's very wonderful. So Devaki was speaking these phrases to try to assert herself that, yes, I'm the mother. Of course, we know that actually Yashoda is the real mother of Krishna. And when she's speaking like this, Mother Yashoda doesn't hear anything. She's completely oblivious. She's just crying, oh, Beta, Beta, oh, my darling, oh, Krishna. And she's just crying. And then Devaki, she starts thinking, what is this? My Lala, he never sat on my lap. He never cried and cried like that. And he never addressed me as Maya, Maya. He was always very formal with me. He was very formal. He would be very respectful. He would come and offer obeisances and touch my feet. You read that in Bhagavatam. When Krishna greets Vasudeva and Devaki, he has his hands folded in respect. And he bows down and touches their feet just like a son or a daughter will do in a cultured Indian household. They'll come down and touch the feet of their mother. So what am I seeing? This is very extraordinary what I'm seeing. Krishna never did like this to me. Sometimes in Dwarka, he would call out to Rohini, because Rohini was living with him in Vrindavan. And in Dwarka, Krishna, I've seen him call out to Rohini and ask Rohini, please get me some water. Please bring some water for me to quench my thirst. But what am I seeing? I've never seen such a thing. So Devaki was totally overwhelmed by seeing this wonderful ras, this wonderful exchange of love between Krishna and Mother Yashoda. Because the intensity of Mother Yashoda's love far, far, far exceeds that of Devaki. So meanwhile, about this time, the gopis arrived and they're standing a little bit off to the side. And they're feeling a little angry because they're in anxiety to say something to Krishna because they haven't seen him and talked to him in so long. And they're looking over there in that direction. Yashoda sees. She sees the gopis. And Devaki sees the gopis and they understand. And Rohini's there also. She understands. So very discreetly they excuse themselves. They said, oh Krishna, we have some work to do for this Mahotsav. Please excuse us. And then Balarama was also there. He also saw the situation, so he excused himself, and they all went. This is also described in Bhagavatam, that Krishna went to a lonely place with all the gopis. So then when Krishna went, he wrapped up and he saw the gopis. The gopis just looked at him. They were staring at him. And they didn't know what to say, and he was staring at them. And Krishna just started crying. And the gopis started crying and crying. For a long time, they're just crying. Nothing could be said. They couldn't say anything to each other. They were so overwhelmed. You could imagine the very life of their life is standing before them. And so, to break the silence, then Krishna started speaking. And this, what he said was very emotionally surcharged. He said, he looked at the gopis because they fell down at his feet. They couldn't stand any longer. They were standing and just staring at each other. Then the gopis fell down in front of Krishna's feet and kept crying and crying. And he was standing and he looked at them and he felt so overwhelmed with the love that they were showing that he said, I'm so ungrateful. I'm ungrateful. You gave me everything. You left your mother's You left your husbands, your fathers, your children. You gave up everything and you came to me. And what did I do? I just left you. And I didn't return. I'm so ungrateful. There's no one more despicable than me in all this world. I'm ashamed to stand before you. So Krishna is speaking in this way before the gopis. And then he felt silent. Then he asked a question, because the gopis weren't saying anything. So he said, Do you feel like that? That I'm so ungrateful? That I couldn't pay back your love? Do you feel like that? So Krishna asked this question to create a platform by which the gopis could speak, because he was asking them a question. They could answer the question. But the gopis didn't say anything. They just kept crying and crying. Then finally, Krishna, he broke the ice again, and he said to the gopis, is everything all right? Still, nothing. Just crying and crying and crying. Then Lalita Sakhi, Radharani's Priya Sakhi, very dear to Radharani, then she's a little bold, so then she spoke up. And she spoke to Krishna. And she said that, Krishna, when you went to Mathura, all of our happiness went with you. You took our happiness away when you went to Mathura. When you were in Vrindavan, we were happy. We were content. And we had two friends. We had two friends in Vrindavan, Nidra and Murcha, sleep and unconsciousness. Sleep and unconsciousness. Murcha. But when you went to Mathura, you took our friends with you. So we can't do anything but weep and weep and weep. Cry and cry and cry. You understand? When Krishna was in Vrindavan, then the gopis would take shelter of sleep or unconsciousness. But when Krishna went, he took Nidra and Murcha. He took to unconsciousness. He took to Mathura. So they couldn't sleep anymore, and they couldn't go unconscious. They were just crying, crying. So when Krishna heard these words, they entered into his heart like a sharp arrow. They pierced his heart. Lalita Sakhi's words, they pierced his heart. Because Krishna never wants to see his devotees unhappy or sad. He comes here to remove the sadness of the devotees. He enters the lives of the surrendered souls to remove their sadness and to make them happy. That is his loving reciprocation. Yetamam prapadyante. So he was thinking, somehow I have to remove the separation from the gopis' hearts. So then Krishna began to speak philosophy. He began to speak jnana. And he's thinking that this jnana or this philosophy will remove the separation from their hearts. So then he started speaking to them. Listen, Sakhis, where do I not exist? I am existing everywhere, just as the earth is in all things. I am never separated from you. Why do you think I'm separated? Why do you feel any separation? I'm always with you. It's your ignorance to think that I went to Mathura. So after hearing this, then Lalita Sakhi answered sarcastically, ha! Just like the darkness is removed by the sun, you are a great remover of darkness and ignorance. You're like our guru, and you're giving us wonderful instructions, speaking all this philosophy. This jnana about you're everywhere, you're all-pervading. But still, our hearts are burning up in separation from you. Your knowledge is very interesting, but it doesn't mean anything to us. We are simple village girls. How are we supposed to understand your sophisticated words and your high philosophy? It doesn't mean anything to us. We're simple and stupid. We're just girls of the village. What do we know? So then Krishna replies to them. He says, you think I was not in Vrindavan with you? I'm always in Vrindavan. I never leave Vrindavan. Remember that night when I played the flute and I called you? And some of you couldn't get out from your houses. You were locked up in your houses and you couldn't get out. Remember that? I remember that afternoon on the banks of the Yamuna when there was a huge storm came up and it was lightning and thunder and huge waves and there were no boats in sight and you had to cross over the Yamuna. Suddenly a boatman arrived and carried you across the Yamuna. Do you remember that? So when Krishna was relating these various events that had actually happened, the gopis realized, yes, these pastimes happened. And that was Krishna who was the boatman. And Krishna, he did call us in that night. We were actually with Krishna. So then the gopis perceived that they were actually with Krishna, and Krishna was there in Vrindavan, and he had never left. So this is understood. So then Srimati Radharani, then she was finally spoke. So now she's speaking to Krishna after 100 years, practically 100 years of never seeing him or speaking to him. And she said, "Hey Shamsundar, your name is like a ship. For those people who have fallen into the ocean of material existence, if they catch hold of that ship, they can cross over this ocean and attain safety. But these words that you're speaking to us, this philosophy and all this sophisticated language, it doesn't make any sense to us. It doesn't enter our hearts. It's way over our heads. Don't you realize? We're simple village girls. We know how to this is cow patties, gober. That's, you need that before you make the rotis. First you make this, and then you make this. Same action. Go like this for roti, but you go like this to make your gober. First you make your gober, and then later you take the gober down and you cook your chapatis, and they taste very, very nice. Roti cooked on gober is very, very nice. Brijbasi roti, everyone knows. You do madhukari, hey, rade, rade, madhukari, madhukari. So Radharani's saying, we are simple village girls like this. We don't understand. All we know is this, that you have to come back to Vrindavan and place your lotus feet back in Vrindavan. If you don't come back to Vrindavan with us, we'll die right here. We'll enter these lakes and drown ourselves. It's the only thing we know. You have to come back to Vrindavan. Look at you. You've changed your mother and father. Because it's his mother and father Yashoda, now he's with Devaki and Vasudeva and Dwarka. You changed your mother and father. And you changed your dress. Where is your flute? Murlidhar, Vanshidhar. Separation. I'm always with you. It's your ignorance, your peacock feather. What are you dressed as? You have this Rajavesh, this golden helmet and this golden uniform. We don't have any relationship with you like this. We can't express our love to you in this atmosphere. All these chariots and elephants and horses. Tikne, Baba. We can't express our love to you. You have to come back with us to Vrindavan. Come back to Vrindavan and become a simple village boy, a village coward boy. Then we'll be happy. And if you want, you can ask us if you can massage our lotus feet and put our lotus feet on your head, and we'll say okay. And then we'll joke with you and we'll tease you. But if we stay here, and you want us to stay here, we will simply die. We cannot exist. It is not possible for us to exist. So when Krishna heard these words of Radhika, he became completely stunned. And he was thinking, the love of my devotees is everything to me. I cannot live without the love of my devotees. Just see what pure love Srimati Radharani has for me, and all the gopis have. So then, thinking like that, then Krishna spoke to Srimati Radhika. Srimati Radhika, I cannot live without you. I will come to Vrindavan in a few days. In a few days, I will come back to Vrindavan. So then Radharani said, No! You must come right now. And the chariot is waiting. And Krishna said, where is the chariot? And Radharani said, the chariot is our minds. The minds is our chariot. So you must come with us right now back to Vrindavan. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad explains, and all this of what I'm telling is the purports of Vishwanath. He explains that in one form, Krishna went back with the gopis to Vrindavan. In another form, he stayed in Kurukshetra for some more time, and then he returned with the Vrishnis to Dwarka. So when the gopis were carrying Krishna in the chariot, they looked back to see if he's there, and he was still there, sitting in the chariot of their minds. So this is explained that this Krishna, so this is actually the inner meaning of the Ratha Yatra, is bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan, just like the gopis. Then, when Krishna left the Radharani and the gopis, then he met with Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj stayed for 3 months in Kurukshetra. Why did he stay for 3 months? Because all the Brijbasis went back to Vrindavan, satisfied that Krishna was now with them. They were carrying Krishna because he went with them in one form in their minds. So why did Nanda Maharaj? Nanda Maharaj had a very friendly relationship with the Vasudev and the Yadavas, but it's not because of his friendly relationship. He didn't have the courage. He was trying to get the courage to tell something to Vasudev. So every day when he woke up in the morning, Nanda Maharaj said, okay, today I'm going to face Vasudev and I'm going to tell him the truth. I'm going to tell him what's on my mind. So every day he said this, and then he would meet with Vasudev, and they would eat together and drink together and play chess and converse and just relish living in that holy dham of Kurukshetra. And then one day went by, and 2 days, and 1 week, and 1 month, and 2 months, and 3 months. Then finally one day, Nanda Maharaj got the courage. Today I must speak my mind. So then Nanda Maharaj, he said, Vasudev, there's one thing on my mind I have to say. I have to take Krishna with me back to Vrindavan today. If I can't take Krishna with me back to Vrindavan, then I'll give up my life, I'll drown myself in these lakes. I can't live anymore without him. When Vasudev heard this, he was completely overwhelmed and amazed. So then Maharaj Ugrasen, because Ugrasen was also living in Dwarka with all the Vrishnis and Yadavas, so then he stepped forward. And he said, oh, Nanda Maharaj, he tried to appease him and comfort him. It is all right. Please take these gifts. Have this gift and that gift and this gift. Because he's thinking, Nanda Maharaj is a simple king of the village. And if I give him all these opulent gifts, I can sway his opinion. But Nanda Maharaj kept crying, no, you must give me Krishna. Then Vasudev, who is famous for his diplomacy, remember Vasudev spoke to Kamsa? When Kamsa was taking on the wedding day, Kamsa wanted to kill Devaki. So Vasudev spoke very diplomatically about the nature of the body and the nature of fame. And Kamsa gave up his evil intentions to kill Devaki on the chariot. So again, Vasudev, he spoke very diplomatically. Listen, Nanda Maharaj, I know Krishna is your son, and you want to take him to Vrindavan. And we will let him come to Vrindavan, but first let us take Krishna back to Dwarka. Because if Krishna goes directly with you to Vrindavan right now, all the Vrishnis, all the Dwarkavasis, they will die in a separation. And besides, since I came here from Dwarka with Krishna, it's only natural that I must return back to Dwarka with Krishna. So please, let us take him and we'll send him after a few days. So still, Nanda Maharaj is very distressed. And then Krishna, he met privately. He took Nanda Maharaj to the side and he met privately. And he sat on his lap. Krishna sat on Nanda's lap. And he said, oh, Father, please, let me go back to Dwarka. And when you're in Vrindavan, when you're waiting for me, when you're waiting in separation from me, if you want to see me, whenever you want to see me, or whenever you want to play with me, or whenever you want to offer me some nice delicacies, simply close your eyes. Close your eyes, and I will be there immediately standing before you. I promise you this, and I'll reciprocate with you and fulfill all your desires. This is my promise. So after hearing that, then Nanda Maharaj said, all right, and then he went back to Vrindavan and Krishna went to Dwarka. So this is some of the emotions and some of the pastimes that are going on in the mind of Lord Chaitanya when he's dancing in front of the Rath Yatra cart and he's singing this verse that we read today. That Krishna, please place your lotus feet. Come to Vrindavan and place your lotus feet. So we can draw some lesson from these teachings, but we can prepare. We should prepare our minds. Prepare the chariot of our minds for Krishna to sit in it. Manoratenam. We should prepare the chariot of our minds so that Krishna can sit there. So how do we do that? We do that by following the example of the gopis of Vrindavan. When Krishna was not sitting in their mind, when they were separated from Krishna, what were they doing? Crying and crying and crying and crying in separation. Crying oceans of tears, Krishna kaha, Krishna kaha, where are you, where are you? So actually, Srila Prabhupada told us that when we're chanting Hare Krishna mantra, Maha mantra, on our mala, we should be chanting in a mood of viraha, viraha bhav, separation. We should be crying to the holy name, to the Sri Nam Prabhu, just like a little child. Like a bacha, a little child, a lost child crying for his mother. Hey, Mata, Mata, Mata. He's crying. Hey, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we should be crying in separation. And then, if we can call Krishna, just like when the child cries very genuinely and very sincerely, the mother runs to that place. So if we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and crying sincerely in separation and begging Krishna to please come and sit in the chariot of our minds, then he will come and sit on the chariot of our minds. Then once he's on the chariot, we can pull him. We can pull Krishna to Vrindavan. We can take the chariot of our minds. We can take Krishna on our chariot of our minds and take him to Vrindavan. And when he's in Vrindavan, then we should remember him. We should remember Radha and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and always think of them and worship Krishna there. This is Krishna consciousness. And then if we take the instructions of Nanda Maharaj that were received by Krishna, we can also apply that teaching. Whenever we want to see Krishna, or whenever we want to play with Krishna, or whenever we want to offer Krishna some sweet, delicious foods, some bhog, Thakurji bhog, what do? We simply close our eyes. Close our eyes and think of Krishna, then Krishna will come and stand before us. Just like Nanda Maharaj, he will stand before us and fulfill all our desires. This is Krishna consciousness. This is one of the inner meanings of the Rath Yatra festival. Jagannath Swami Ki, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.